Into this hour's guest interview segment, and joining me live over the phone this morning with the monthly report for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, that's Director Angie Bruce. Good morning, Director. How are you today?
Good morning, Duke. I'm doing well.
Excellent. Well, appreciate your time as always. And for the update from what's happening with the Game and Fish, something that you and I have talked about a couple of times in recent months has been the elk feed grounds. And it sounds like this year the Game and Fish is moving forward into kind of phase two of developing an elk feed ground plan moving forward.
Absolutely. And Duke, thanks for bringing this up too, because, you know, like any good thing there in Wyoming that happens, there tends to be a lot of rumors out there. So a chance to kind of clarify what we're doing and why, I just really appreciate that. So back in 2020, the commission approved a CWD statewide plan for us. But when we did that plan, we left out the feed grounds on purpose. They're just too complicated. Not only CWD, but brucellosis, it includes 7 different jurisdictional authorities regarding land management. Very complicated. So we did a separate process for the feed ground plan, and the commission approved a feed ground plan in 2024. So what are we doing now? Now, because we operate 21 individual feed grounds, we're going back through on a kind of like a finer scale. These are more of an action plan, guidance for our internal staff, different strategies on each individual elk herd and the associated feed grounds with that elk herd. So we started 2 of them, Jackson Elk Herd and Pinedale Elk Herd. And we're visiting with individual stakeholders. We're going to have public meetings. We should get those on the calendar any day now, so look for those in January, February, to gather input. And this, again, is really an action plan for our staff to use, but we really, really need feedback. And let me give you an example of why these are so important. Out of these 21 feed grounds, many of them are not on game and fish property. They might be on Forest Service, BLM land. And therefore, we don't have complete control over the situation like I would like. What if something happens where we're not able to feed on a federal land in the future, maybe 10 years from now, maybe 20, maybe it had never happened. But we owe it to ourselves to be prepared on how we're going to address any sort of situation that might come up with feeding elk. And so that's really what this is about, is trying to figure that out, strategize, document, get input. Folks, look for those public meetings coming up. And then, like always, we'll be taking this to our Game and Fish Commission, another opportunity for public comment, and then getting their approval later on this year.
You know, Director, a couple of questions along with that. And first, I'd like if you could go back to 24. You mentioned the first overall plan was approved then. If you could just summarize maybe some of the main points of what was approved and what you're trying to implement now as you do the fine-tooth approach, as you say.
Yes, great question, Duke. So I think that clarifying thing in that 2024 plan online, anybody can go look at it, is really our goal here is to maintain healthy elk populations in the area. Do we want to decrease the reliance on our feeding? Absolutely. How we exactly get that done is where the tough part comes into play. You know, is the goal of the feed ground plan to close feed grounds? Absolutely not. But I think we can all agree that, you know, this started over 100 years ago of feeding elk, and we are left to deal with it, and we are dealing with it. But if folks think that we're going to stop feeding or shut down feed grounds anytime soon, that is just not in the plan at all.
You know, I look at the feed ground closest to us in our listening area is the Alpine feed ground. And it's certainly a lot smaller than some of the others that you mentioned, Pinedale and Jackson and whatnot. But it has its own unique needs. And so I think that really goes to emphasize the importance of going through individually one by one now, right?
You're exactly right. There's little nuances with each of them. And so that's really what these, you know, very detailed, more feed ground action plans for the specific feeding operations is so valuable. You know, and our goal is to reduce the spread of disease. If that's brucellosis or CWD, we also want a healthy population. So if we can feed in ways and have different strategies to do that, you know, one of the easiest thing that folks can help us out with, if they see any wildlife, elk in particular, mule deer as well, but acting funny, having signs of chronic wasting disease or just not looking right, to give us a call, because that's what we really hone in on. We target those unhealthy animals. We'll often sample those, put them down, sample them to help us understand the diseases in the area, if they're moving, if they're growing, if they're decreasing, and that information is very powerful for us.
Wyoming Game and Fish Director Angie Bruce on the Weekday Wake Up this morning. Speaking of elk, I just noticed this morning that the Game and Fish is doing a new study aimed at tracking one of the largest elk herds in North America, and the Jackson elk herd. Tell us what this is about.
Oh my gosh, what a remarkable project. So, you know, oftentimes we want to think we know our big game, we know our wildlife in the state, and then we do these collaring projects where we put GPS collars on them and get their exact movements, what habitats they're using at different parts, different times of the year. And oftentimes we're surprised, or we hone in our knowledge and we gain more details from it. So that's exactly what we're doing here. We're trying to decipher, you know, a lot of our elk come to these feed grounds in the winter, but where do they go from there? Some are short migrants, some are long migrants. Do they all come to the same winter spot and then disperse? That's really what we're trying to gain from this study, is understanding where they all move to during their spring migration, and then what habitats are they using. If we want to, you know, this then will fold back into everything we do with management of elk, such as our hunting seasons. If we want to target a particular part of the herd, this will give us that information to just really target in. And so, yeah, exciting study. Like you said, very extensive. I think the elk over there have been studied probably more than any other elk in the state, and we're going to continue to understand their movement patterns.
Director Angie Bruce, Wyoming Game and Fish Department on the Weekday Wake Up. Director, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago I was talking with then-Director Nesvik about the crazy winter we had a handful of years ago and the huge amount of snowpack and the impact it had on Wyoming's wildlife. And now this year, it's kind of been the opposite. And, of course, we still have plenty of winter ahead of us, and so who knows how things will turn out. But what kind of impact could an extremely mild, low snowpack winter have on Wyoming's wildlife?
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, we might be enjoying this warm fall we had, and now this winter, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to let up. You know, we've had a lot of warm times in the past, but this seems pretty continuous, and it's starting to have us nervous. Moisture related. Of course, we know what the drought does to wildlife and limits the resources available for them to be healthy by less food on the landscape. Gosh, I'm really quite nervous, Duke, too, if we don't get more precipitation here this winter, is what is the wildfire season going to look like? And then could we have more large wildfires to deal with? And wildfires can be helpful to certain habitats, but in moderation. We don't want large fires that destroy a lot of habitat at once. So worried about the future, but then just maybe being cautious for folks. You know, I got a lot of good positive hunting reports this year, but then a lot of people that, you know, the elk were not where they thought they would be, or the mule deer, because this weather is affecting their movement patterns. Over here in eastern Wyoming, we see a lot of elk still up high and haven't come down yet for their winter range. And so we're seeing that, but then also we're wondering about the amount of forage that they have, and will they be as healthy going into the spring, but then also that vegetation, if it doesn't get the moisture, what's that going to look like this spring? But Jen, also just a note of caution for those who like to get out and ice fish, be very careful. Triple check that ice, make sure it's thick enough. Don't just assume it's like any other winter. So take extra precaution there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're heading into that time of year where there's a few fishing derbies, and I know the Game and Fish partners with a handful of local communities to put those on. So fingers crossed that we have some good ice for those.
Exactly. I hope so. I don't know if they change the derbies up and have them from the shoreline or anything different if the ice is not thick enough. But those are definitely wonderful days that we hope some weather changes and that we're able to get out on the ice.
Director Angie Bruce this morning with the Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, thank you for your time. Anything we missed that you'd like to mention today?
No, I just welcome everyone. A happy new year, and hope that your new year's resolutions include getting outside more and enjoying Wyoming's wildlife.
It's Wyoming Game and Fish Report this morning. It's the weekday wake up on SVI Radio.